Okay, so just as a point of order, and just to make sure, we're starting our meeting at we called to order at 3:06, and I shared the agenda, and everybody is aware that we are going to record the session. Okay, and so the only item on the agenda today is just to work on the rules and regs. And so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And okay. All right. And I know that we've also sent it out too in the past. So I haven't touched this since our last meeting. I haven't made any other changes. So let's see. The last time we met, we actually, let's see, we had discussed this education and outreach, and I think that we had come to a consensus of what we wanted to say. But just in case, if you want to read, we'll read through it just to make sure that it's okay. Education and outreach, this is just the definition. These are primary prevention activities that promote the prevention of cancer before it starts. Primary prevention of cancer is defined as the plans for and the measures taken to prevent the onset of cancer before its occurrence. So I had taken it, we had agreed to take out all the examples, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that okay? We're good with that? That change?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. So the rest of the definitions, I didn't think we needed any changes, but if any of you feel like there's some other terms that need to have the definitions modified, please let me know before we move on.
No, I didn't see any.
Okay, all right. So let's move on to item number three, Guam Cancer Trust Fund. Let's see. So item A is just specifying the law, where it came from. B is that the funds are transferred to you to the university. C, and then item C, 3C, talks about how the funds may be expended. So according to the law, one, in accordance with the law, up to 75% of the funds balance each year to nonprofit and charitable organizations for cancer screening, treatment, and support services, cancer education and outreach. So this red part is what I added before as to make it more clear. However, no more than 10% of the available funds can be used for the cancer education and outreach. Therefore, of the 75% fund available each year, 90 is goes towards the organizations that provide cancer screenings and treatment, and 10% is for cancer education and outreach. So that is not, that's still in accordance with the law. And so we can't change those percentages, but I just added a teeny bit of language just to make it more clear. And then number, is that okay? So before I move on, is that okay? That language is okay. All
I
right.
think so.
Okay. And then number two, the remaining portion of the balance, which is 75, sorry, which is 25%, will be used for the administration of the trust fund, and for the investment. And so down below it says what it is allowed to be used for. 5% to UOG for administrative costs of running Guam Cancer Trust Fund. And then 20% to be invested.
Are we still going to go with the investment issue?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. What it, I mean,
Remember, one of the senators asked us, why are we investing? We are not a financial institution. The money was given to us to assist cancer patients. So why are we investing? I know the intent of it was so that we can generate some funds through interest to augment what we're getting from the government in the event that my understanding was the reason why that was put into the law or put in there was because they were hoping that people will stop smoking and the tobacco tax revenues will go down, which means the amount we get is lessened so that at least we have an alternative revenue source. I think that was the whole intent from of that way, way back. Am I correct, Yvette?
Sorry, I don't know what the original intent was, but if it's still in the law, don't we have, doesn't our bylaws have to match?
Yeah.
It's in the law. Is it in the law?
It is.
I think it is written. And that's, and that was a question that Senator Terlahi asked. Remember during our first meeting with her?
Yeah, one of the meetings, yeah.
She was going to follow up.
That brought up the issue of why are we investing, if I remember correctly. But yeah, she was supposed to follow up to find out if it was still in the law and if it needs it to be amended to be removed or something like that.
I totally agree with you, Kathy. I would like to not have that investment, but Yvette's right too, that because it's still of the law, we have to.
Can we make a notation that we follow up with her office regarding to verify if the quote unquote investment clause is in the actual law? Because I know this law was amended also after. And if it is, maybe that's something we can talk to our policymakers about with regards to maybe amending the law to remove it, especially because, remember, we're in difficult situations, so we know the amount of money we're going to get is very minimal, so we need to be able to maximize how much we give to our organizations for the cancer patients, right? Mm-hmm.
So we should make it like an action item that someone takes ownership on so that we know that it gets done, you know, going to the legislature and making that change.
But that would be Remelin, right? She can send a note to Senator Terlahi just to follow up on it.
Okay.
And then after we get an answer, then we can decide how we want to proceed as a council.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's good. I agree. Let's, because I don't like that either. I would prefer, not trying to build up the savings account, investment savings account, because we can't invest it.
Yeah.
We cannot invest
it. I want to see money going to the patients. That's my bottom line.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we'll work on that. Okay, and so if we do that, then we wouldn't need this part, number three, the portion of the trust fund being invested, because even this, we can't invest it, so.
Correct.
All right. Okay.
So, Rachel, that 5% for UOG's administrative cost, mm-hmm. Is that from the original law of 5%? I thought it was more than that.
It was actually more. It was actually 15%, but then in 2017 they reduced it to 5%.
Okay.
So it's fine. That's fine. We can stick with that. Okay. So the next big, okay, then the university may only make awards under the Guam Cancer Trust Fund for cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment, other services, or cancer education and outreach. Okay, so I think last time we section four. Oh, no, sorry. Section five is the trust fund council. This is a whole new section that we're going to add to the rules and regs. And we did discuss the membership. And if I remember correctly, we decided that we took out the, we left chair or vice chair, because before it was chair and then the second one was vice chair. So we're just going to have chair or vice chair or the designee from the Guam Comprehensive Cancer Control Coalition, right?
Yes.
And then we decided we'd have it, B would be a licensed nurse or practitioner from either Guam Medical Association, Guam Medical Society, or Guam Nursing Association.
Okay, are we going to clarify who's going to decide who that individual be? Because why, if all three of them want to submit one, does the council get to decide?
Yeah, so it's recommended by the council and appointed by the president. So we
get, I'm probably looking at an old, I'm looking at my own file here.
Okay, so we would get to this one here.
Because yours is kind of small, so it's hard for me to see.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me see if I can make it bigger. Is that better?
I got senior eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's better.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm looking at my document on another computer.
There you go. I should do that, but only have one. But yeah, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So is this highlighted part? So I think we said recommended by the council. So we can take input from the council, but we make the decision, and then we'll send it up to the president, and he'll, you know, do his rubber stamp.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So are you guys good with that? That's okay? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So I'll unhighlight that. Okay, then it's going to be five members. So the chair or vice chair or designee of the Comprehensive Cancer Control Coalition, a licensed somebody, either a nurse or a doctor, director of Cancer Research Center, a representative from the Guam School of Health, UOG School of Health, and then a representative from the community. So we're okay with those five.
Well, I think the representative of the community, we shouldn't make them mandatory that they're a cancer survivor or relative, because basically under that qualification, I don't qualify. You know, I think that if we have a member from the community, the members of the board would be knowledgeable enough to determine whether or not a representative from the community would be a welcome addition to the board and actively participate. But if we limit it to a cancer survivor or someone who has cancer, well, technically I qualify, because if you go far enough back, you'll find someone in your family that had cancer.
Yeah.
As we're saying that, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, my mom died of cancer. Okay.
But the problem is trying to get a cancer patient or a family member or a caregiver. I know for the coalition, we've had a challenge in trying to fill that seat, because cancer patients that are in active treatment or have been in recovery for at least a year or two don't want to get involved in going to meetings. Family members just don't want, especially, and then those that are in early days don't want. So maybe if we leave it just from the community, however, is there a way we can state that the selection will come from the current council members?
How about?
Yeah, you can say a representative from the community nominated by a council member and acceptable to the majority. That way, hypothetical example, if someone gets nominated that only the nominator thinks would be good, then the rest can say, no, we don't want that person on. But by a majority, we make it possible for diversity. Because let's say, for example, Kathy didn't like me, but everybody else did, you know, then that would be welcome. But if it required a unanimous, then we'd never get anybody on.
And in the event that, you know, someone is being considered, but a council member has a conflict of interest with that individual, we want to ensure that the council's protected. The yeah. current council members are protected because they're already appointed. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's why the council decides who to accept.
This will cover that. Is that okay?
Yeah. So how about this representative from the community who is nominated by a council member, accepted by a majority of the council, and appointed by the president.
I think that covers it nicely.
Okay.
So, Rachel, while you're working on that, I just pulled up the bill that was introduced by Terlahi. Regarding the corrections, and in that bill, it still designates the 25% for, was it?
For the investment, because I know she was pro-investment.
Yeah, 25% for investment is still in there.
Yeah,
she I think we could convince her otherwise, because all we yeah. have to do is look at the fact the stock market is down 30% so far this year, and expected to go down further and trade flat for some period of time.
Yeah, and plus she still even has, in her original law, she proposed like 9 members.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. So
we'll never get anything done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. So I like the membership, that's good. I'm gonna save it. Okay, term of membership, we had decided 1 year and it can be extended by the president. I don't know, do we want to change that, or are you good with that?
I have a question about the 1 year. If by chance we're meeting monthly, but if the bylaws say every other month, really a person's going to sit on the council for only 6 meetings, and is that, I mean, is that feasible? What's the normal term, Ken, of other count boards and commissions? And
it's all over the place. Corporate charters I've put together have been up to 3 and 5 years. I've seen others where they're 1 year appointments, but you know, these are organizations that are meeting all the time. So I think a 2 year appointment, especially yeah. with every other month.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree for a longer appointment because yeah, there's just so many things to get done and it's hard to focus when your time is limited.
Yeah. I was gonna say wait, because then that's not gonna work in my favor. I open my mouth because my 1 year is almost up.
That's right. But when this is approved, then we'll be out of that.
Yay. I like you, Yvette. You've always got my back. So we're going to change it to 2?
Yeah. But we need to put in there that a board member may resign with 60 days notice to the board, because the last thing you want to do is hold somebody on a board that doesn't want to be on.
Doesn't want to be there. Absolutely.
And then what you do over time, you'll get staggered terms, which will cover, because in a couple of corporations I've been in, we had a 3-year term, but by the time people leave, get promoted, relocate and stuff, and as new members come on, their term starts at the 3 years. So what you end up with is a staggered board membership where you have new people coming in every couple of, you know, every year, you know, someone will.
There's some sort of continuity, right?
Yeah. And that gives the continuity. The worst company I ever was in was a nonprofit organization in Hawaii, and the board terminated at 24 months, everybody. And so the first thing the second board did is they changed that because you had a whole bunch of new people, and we ended up running, going back to the former board members. Hey, what about this? What about that? You know, how did you guys get that daycare program started? You know?
So, yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. But if someone loses the passion, loses the determination, the last thing you want to do is keep them on a board that they no longer are passionate about, especially a nonprofit organization like this.
So, Rachel, you got that about resignations with 60-day notice? You're muted.
And termination for cause.
Sorry, my internet died and I left the meeting for a little bit. Yeah. So
You kind of looked like you were frozen.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was me or you guys, but then it just died. Go.
Well, the other thing is we need to add a member may be expelled from the board for cause.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Can you share your screen again?
Yeah, let me share that. Okay, so how do you want to do this then? Term of membership. Do you want to do for 1 year or how?
2 years.
Okay, 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 years.
And then have an A. Little A.
Or number one. Oh, little A, yeah.
Or number one, yeah. Members may resign with 60 days written notice to the board chair. And B. May be removed from the board for cause.
A member.
Yeah. May be removed from the board.
Member, maybe Rufin for cause. Okay. Okay. All right. So you're good with that? That's fine with me. Okay. So are we ready to move to this one, number D? C?
Yes.
Okay. I think this is where we need council members are expected to attend all meetings, and then we put the three consecutive, something like if a member misses three consecutive meetings.
They are automatically.
Removed?
Removed from the board.
Okay, so can I ask a question on that? What about now if a council member like myself, I come on to the meeting knowing that I can't stay, but I just come on to make sure I'm logged in and I stay for 15 minutes and then I'm gone. And I do that at each meeting. That means I'm present for the meeting. So you can't kick me off.
That's where the for cause comes in.
Okay, got it.
Because you see the way the cause is, it can be because you leave meetings early without participating, or you're abusive in a meeting in such a way that you make other members. That's why we want to keep for cause, because it's up to the board to determine what the cause is.
Perfect. Okay.
I mean, three meetings. All you have to do to stay a member is as long as you miss two, make sure you hit that third meeting.
Yeah. No, but I mean, if I come to I'll come to this last meeting and then I left after 10 minutes and then I come to this meeting and leave after 10 minutes and next meeting I leave after 10 minutes because I'm busy, but I just log on long enough to be timed in. You know, I'm not really participating.
Yeah, because the problem with that is that when you're not there for the votes.
Correct. So that's why I'm asking, but can't cover for a cause. So we can address that if that ever happens.
Okay. I like it. Later, honey.
I like that we're actually doing this.
I know, right? Finally. Okay, next. So are we good with the duties? Do we need to add anything else or is that okay?
Okay, resume, evaluate, make up.
So the duties of the council, do we add in there that the chair needs to make a report on at each meeting regarding the status of the funds?
Sure.
Because you're doing it now, but I want to make sure that it becomes standard. So we're updated on how much money is there or any issues that is currently facing your office regarding the fund.
We'll provide a financial report.
And status, not just finance, but.
A status report of finances.
Administration of the funds?
Yeah.
Because the administration would also include your office and everything if you have a situation.
Yeah.
I know it's not our call, but at least we know what's going on.
Yeah. No, that's.
Want to add anything about updating the rules and regs as needed? Reviewing and updating the rules and regs as needed?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, how long has these been, the existing ones been in effect?
Forever.
This is the original one because it was never filed.
Oh, okay.
So as Yvette says, forever.
So should we make it updated on an annual basis or, well, that's.
No.
No, just.
Maybe every 3 years you take a look at it and if it's still okay, then you just adopt it.
I would say as needed, but if you want to put a time period.
As needed or every 3 years, because this was an unusual situation here. We don't know what's going to happen in the future that may require, but if nothing happens, then 3 years.
Yeah. Because if they change the law regarding the finances, then the investment, then we'd have to change it. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, we're at council meetings, right? And we're saying at least six times a year. I have an issue with that because we're talking about millions of dollars here and we're only going to meet six times a year. We want to make sure that our NPOs that are getting funds are doing their due diligence and reporting and everything else.
You know, the way to address that would be to by minimum six times a year. Or more as needed at the call of the chair.
Yeah, I mean, we could say something like I'm hesitant to put 12 times a year because, you know.
There weren't 12 times a year either.
Yeah, like maybe we could do something like nine times a year so that we're meeting almost monthly, but, you know, during Christmas, if we need to take a break or summer, you know.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Isn't the work of the organization pretty compressed? I mean, we have a time frame where we're getting all the applications, reviewing them, scoring them or whatever, and then they're implemented, and then things are kind of slow in the middle?
Not this year.
Well, do we normally get applications all the time? And yeah. Are twice we normally year. Dispersing?
Once or twice a year, yeah.
So that, you know, on that basis, maybe the 6 times per year and more if needed, you know, at the call of the chair. If something arises, the chair can call members and say, hey, we just had this unusual situation. Marlboro felt so guilty about being the number one brand on Guam, they gave us an extra X, but we have to, you know, I mean, it could happen.
It could. You know?
It could.
So after as needed or at the call of the chair?
Yeah.
Okay.
There.
Okay. CCTF chair.
Yeah. Okay.
So Rachel, just for consistency purposes, if you look to see right above you.
Yeah, it says chair.
You have to start answer, yeah.
I'll just keep it chair.
Yeah.
And then over here, chair. I'll go through and make sure that it's consistent. Yeah. Okay. All right, for the rest of the meetings, this is post meeting details publicly. 5 working days and then 48 hours in advance. Majority quorum, meeting procedures.
What's certified members?
Currently certified, yeah, maybe we should.
Council members? Current council members?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think there's a certification process.
So what are you considering a majority? 50% plus one? Or can we qualify that statement of a majority? 2/3? I mean, there's 5 of us. So yeah. If we have 3 people, is that a quorum? Or are we saying we need 4? Because then whatever you put here is going to, we're going to reflect in our votes too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's define majority. Because 50% plus 1 would be 3 people.
And then 2 people can pass anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So if we just say 4, we got 5. We meet twice, 6 times a year.
Are you opposed to the 50 plus 1?
Who, me?
Oh, just in general, is anyone opposed to the 50 plus 1?
No, because we've in the past just even trying to get 3 people has been a challenge.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm wondering if we should use 50 plus 1 just in case the membership changes.
Yeah, let's not use a number.
Okay, well, a majority by definition is 50 plus 1.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, even if we did 2/3 majority, that's still 3 people, so. No, that's not 3 people.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. Okay. Anything else
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to ask, I know in the past councils, we've had email votes. We've done some votes through email. Do we want to address that in the rules and regs, or do we have to have a face-to-face meeting?
I think we should have another letter item regarding votes, but we also need to add in there now the fact that we're meeting
virtually.
On Zoom, virtually, and you know, I know like with the legislature, they need to see their faces to be present, considered present. So we need to consider that because that's how things are going now. And this also would allow us to have council meetings this way. As long as we follow the regulations of the open government law and the technology video conferencing law, whatever that, is that what it's called, Ken?
Video conferencing.
I don't know what it is, but what you're saying makes perfect sense because the legislature tied itself up in knots and they had to change their own rules. You know, video conferencing, as long as each face is visible to be considered present, excellent point right there, because as we saw in public hearings, some people weren't appearing and they had to, you know, crank down on them to turn on their cameras. I'm thinking particularly of Lester Carlson, if you watch that. He had his camera pointing at the roof.
If I turn off my video camera and it's only my photo, I mean, I could not be sitting here listening to what's going on. And then when I hear a call for a vote, I'll run back. And I really wasn't participating. So the cameras need to be on so you really see if they're there. And this is why I'm bringing it up, because of the public hearings when I saw that whole issue there.
Yeah.
Can be seen live because a member's face can be there in a photo. Be seen live.
And you know, it's called the open government law. We need to be transparent here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so should we also address the voting then? So voting on issues can only take place during. So how do we want to address that voting issue?
No email voting, no, no. I mean,
we're
as far
doing
as
it
a call
right
and vote.
Now, we've just voted several times on different things, you know, only during live sessions.
Yeah.
Either in person or on video conference.
Because we might be able to have, you know, in-person meetings.
Yeah, remember the Gura got into trouble over doing votes by email, which was in violation of some federal law. I don't remember what it was, but I remember it in the news that they were conducting votes by email, which was a violation of some federal law for disclosure.
Okay. All right, so voting can does voting can only take place during meetings? During official
meetings?
Yeah.
Live meetings.
Live meetings.
Live.
Not via electronic mail. Okay. Okay. So is that okay, or do you want me to change the wording?
No.
Okay.
Very explicit.
Okay. Alrighty. Anything else on this section before we move to section 6? Okay.
Nothing from me.
Okay, let's move to section 6. The only thing in here that's controversial or we need to decide is what's our deadline for when we're going to announce the availability of funds to accept awards. So the original is April 1st, and that's kind of got us
in hot water.
In hot water. But actually, according to our legal counsel here at UOG, he said that, you know, everybody was interpreting it differently. You know, obviously Guam Cancer Care was interpreting it that, you know, we should be advertising April 1st, 2020 for the funds that will be available in 2021. That's their interpretation. But actually, Anthony's like, no, April 1st of 2020, that's by then we should have announced it for this current fiscal year, FY 2020. So I think it's very confusing. So I would like to change it so it's closer to the beginning of the fiscal year. So that it, because April is like just a real random.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because it's not annual or fiscal.
Yeah, it just, so I added this right here in preparation for the upcoming fiscal year. So we could do it August 1st, but maybe we should do it even October 1st or maybe September 1st. I don't know, because we don't know, even August 1st, we won't be exactly sure how much we're going to get.
We'll find out August 31st.
Okay, so maybe September. Okay. So are we okay with that?
Do we want to say September 1st or September 15th? Because, you know, even if we see it on the 15th, that means we have to publish it 5 days in advance.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should, if we, I would probably, learning from the mistakes of this year, I probably would announce it maybe early August, and just to get people submitting applications.
Yeah, we don't need to announce how much is available. We just, I mean, do it like ANA does. ANA has called for applications, and applications will be funded till the money runs out.
Yeah. You know?
We don't have to say how much is available. All we have to say is, this is the date you need to submit your application, and awards will be made on this date.
Yeah.
Subject to funding availability.
Yeah, so I'm fine if we put it September 1st for the upcoming year, because if, you know, they get their applications in, and we can already start going through and evaluating for merit. And by, you know, within a few weeks, we would know, okay, well, how much are we actually going to get?
We actually should need to change the sentence. Call, you know, a call for applications, organizations interested in applying for funds need to have their application in by this date.
I'll announce.
So the way it works with ANA is you have to have your applications in by April 1st for consideration. And then they award, they announce the awards in October 1. And they fund in November, December.
Okay, so how about this? We will announce a call for applications on or before September, we can say 1st, in preparation for the upcoming fiscal year.
Well, you can say applications for funding must be received by.
Well, because it's two different things. There's the announcement, because there's an announcement, and then we need to give them X number of days.
Well, when do we plan to start funding? Annually or fiscally?
It's a fiscal. It should be fiscal.
So if they're going to be awarded in October, we need to have at least 60 days to review applications, don't we? So August 1 received in-house, which would be consistent with the way the federal government does it.
Yeah.
You know, you can submit applications starting April. There's a cutoff date of August. Hold on, let me pull up my email because I'm...
This though, if you look at all of the organizations now who have funding and you look at their contracts of when they're the beginning date and the start date and end date, they're now all kind of shifted towards January.
Calendar year, right?
Yeah, they're all kind of shifted. And we could still, so yeah.
So if we're going to run by calendar year, then we ask for it in September and give them a 1 month deadline, and then we have October, November to process the applications, and by December we'd be able to award it and implement it in January. Is that a good timeline?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we leave it kind of open-ended and say on or before either September 1 or August 1 in preparation for the upcoming fiscal year, and
because if we run into the issues that the three of us ran into with where we had all these questions with their applications that he kept having to go back and forth, and even when they answered it, we still have more questions, and it just kept going back and forth.
Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, like say for example, we put out a call this year on September 1, and everybody, including Guam Cancer Care, gets their application in by October 1, and everything gets approved by December 1st. Even though they still have a few months left, they've got it locked in place so that, okay, well, as soon as that my current contract ends, I'll be able to start up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, they have a whole month to sign their new contract. Yeah, they
have it, and everything in place. Like
there's no lapse, right?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to just keep it consistent with, say, September 1 or September 15th, but maybe not be so specific with the deadline for when it has to be submitted. Because
it has to be received by.
Okay, applications must be received.
The way it's written here on the ANA website, applications must be received by April 20 for consideration and for funding in the next fiscal year. And right now, the ANA review cycle is happening right now because they wanted me to start on May 16 for 5 days.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to put must be received by because, I mean, I'm just thinking about that one organization who submitted it late, but they had a good application. And so we wouldn't have been able to accept their application. Or, you know, what if Catholic Social Services comes to us and says, oh, because of COVID-19, I didn't see this, but we have a really good application. I'm really hesitant to put
Here's what you're overlooking. We have a board. The board has powers, and the board can decide to accept a application out of cycle. It's not these are guidelines. They're not carved in stone law.
Okay. All right. So if that's fine, then I'm okay. So we would say on or before September 1 in preparation for the applications must be received by. What do you want to say? October 1.
Well, you're talking about funding the fiscal year or next fiscal year.
Well, October will start at the fiscal of.
Well, you see, if we follow the federal guidelines, they had to be in-house at a Association for Native Americans by April 20. And then starting May 15, the ANA is reviewing the applications that were received by April 20 and qualified. You know, they screen them out. This is a complete package. This is not a complete package. And if it's an incomplete package, you get sent back with why it was not accepted. And then the ones that are accepted then get put into packets that are given to the reviewers. And the reviewers have 5 days. Last couple times I did it, my team reviewed seven, and I don't know how many teams there were, but there are quite a few. When we were doing it in DC, we were like 19 teams of five, you know, and we each had 5 to 7 packets to review. So now that we're doing it online, this will be the fourth year we've done it online. Each team gets 5 to 7 packets to review. And then we go through the reviewing process, we score them, and then make our recommendations to the ANA Council. The ANA Council then looks at our recommendations and the scores, and then they award for October. And so first week of October, the winning proposals go to Washington, D.C. for their workshop. They have to go through a workshop, and it's covered in their expenses, you know. That if they are awarded, then they come to Washington, D.C., and then they go through a workshop on what the requirements are, the reporting requirements and everything. It's like a 2 or 3 day workshop. So if we say all applications must be here by, say, the 15th, all the organizations know if they want to apply for funding from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, then they have to have an application in by April 15th. For an October 1 award. That gives the council plenty of time to review the applications. And if there are incomplete or missing items, we have time that we can work with them. Say, hey, you didn't say how you were going to do this. We need to know. And then we have time to decide to award, and then we award October 1. That stays consistent with what you're doing on the award side.
Yeah, the problem is that at this point, we can't do April 1 because we really missed that. And I don't know if you were looking for a document, so I don't know if you heard, but what we were talking about. So right now, all of our applicants, or I should say all of our awardees, if you look at their timeline, their contracts all started either January, February, or March. So they're going to be kind of forever in that later start.
No, that can change. They're starting January 1 of this year, right?
Well,
and we put the word out that, you know, next year's funding, the proposals have to be in by the end of April.
Yeah.
So even though they're starting January, they can still start the application.
Okay, well,
process back like, clock now.
I think that April, I would prefer, honestly, something like maybe July or August, because we have to implement this for ourselves this year. So
okay. I just think. Well, maybe. It's not like we're going to be receiving tens of thousands of applications like the Health and Human Services does.
Right, right.
No. So that could work. I was just looking at the time frames they set up, but the reason they set their time frames up is they're receiving applications from all the states and the territories. We're only receiving them from Guam, and we have a small group of organizations. So it's not like we're going to get 350 or 400 applications, is it?
No.
So we could still work within that time frame, August 15 or August 30. And that gives us 30 days to award.
So how about we pitch this back to August? Like, we'll do the call. And then we'll say that the applications must be received by September 15 or September 1.
Yeah, September 1. I mean, like I said, we're only looking at a small number.
Okay. Are you, Yvette and Kathy?
Yeah, what, six this year? Yeah, I'm okay with that. We had like, what, six applications?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm okay with it as long as we really step up our game in terms of disseminating that information to all our partners, because in the past, the 30 days didn't seem to be enough time, especially when they weren't getting the information. I know it's advertised in the newspaper, but not everybody reads the newspaper. So it's okay with me as long as on the back end, we're really pushing that information out, whether it's through our website or.
And I know that the whole issue where Catholic Social Services didn't apply, they were misinformed. Paula mentioned to me that they thought we had no funds, so they didn't want to take the time to write out an application. They were misinformed, and we really needed them for the respite care. So I'm hoping that the information is disseminated in a manner where more people can see it.
Yeah.
Like Yvette says, not everybody reads the paper.
Yeah, and we all know the issues related to why that was not.
Do we have a website?
Yes, we do. We do.
Is it updated regularly?
We're working on that. We are working. I think it's been updated somewhat, but it still needs some more tweaking. And that's one of Remelin's assignments is to develop. She's been working on the fact sheet to send out. She sent me a draft a while ago. But yeah, we need to make sure that we contact, that people know about it so that we can make sure everybody can apply. So,
yeah, if we put the application forms on the website, then we can also put a registration so that when there's any changes on the website, for example, on my website, anytime someone makes a comment or anything, it notifies me. But I could also have put in an app or a widget where anybody that's registered on my website, anytime I post, they automatically get an email notice that new information has been posted on Guam Citizens for Public Accountability.
I'm sorry, I need to take a 2-minute break. Hold on. Sorry.
She's taking a call. You know, I have a meeting at 4:00, which I'm a little bit late for, but I'm going to have to jump off. Sorry. Do you know if we're, I thought it was going to be a 1-hour meeting.
Not with bylaws. Maybe what we can do, because I also have another meeting. Maybe meet again next week or something when Rachel gets back, and then we can entertain this. This is time consuming.
Yeah, we just need to recess this meeting. That way we don't have to publish notice or anything, because a recess meeting can be recalled without having to go through the jumping through the hoops of the 5-day notice and everything.
Yeah, so
Guam
we can.
Election Commission does this all the time.
We'll recess, and when Rachel gets back, and then maybe set up a date next week. And before she comes on, before you leave, what's a good date for you, Yvette? A Thursday's good, Ken.
Thursdays are good for me. I like it. If we keep it on a day, then I know not to schedule anything in the
afternoon. Yeah, me too. So, Rachel, Yvette needs to leave for another meeting, and so do I. So we were talking about meeting, because the bylaws are time-consuming, maybe meet again next week and cover as much as we can. And Ken made a comment that if we recess this meeting, we don't need to do the publication notice, a 5-day notice anymore, because it's still the same meeting. We just recessed.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, let's do that next week, and we'll pick up starting.
And we need to do it weekly until we finish it, but at least it's, you know, we do a little bit at a time while we can.
Okay.
Yeah, if we keep it Thursday, if we keep it Thursday at 3, we all know that until further notice, Thursday 3 on, we've got this commitment, because I got a lot of notes that I wanted to go over too that we haven't gotten to yet. But I think this is very important work. This is very
important. Very important. It's key to get this done. So, okay, great. Thank you. I really appreciate.
So the 28th, Thursday at 3 p.m.
Great. All right. So thank you.
We are in recess. You have to say that. We are in recess until the 28th at 3 p.m.
Madam Chair,
I learned something new today.
Aren't you glad he's on?
I know. You never knew about this.
All right. See you guys next week.
Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
Bye.